politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you guys tired of hearing stories about people getting scammed?
Why?
Not really. It's kind of our bread and butter.
Well, how about some stories about people doing crimes, getting caught, and getting thrown in prison?
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm down with that.
Sounds good to me.
Welcome to What the Hack, a true cybercrime podcast. I'm Adam Levin.
I'm Beau Friedlander.
And I'm Travis Taylor.
Aaron West, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a treat to be here.
So now you're a deputy district attorney in Santa Clara County. Is that where you're coming from today?
That's right. I just saw the 30% eclipse here in Santa Clara County, and that's where I am today.
You prosecute people who commit financial crime, and you have a reputation for being relentless when it comes to cryptocurrency scams. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's a nice reputation to have. I am a victim ally. I do not like to see victims getting taken advantage of. And for the past 8 years, I have worked with the REACT task force. That's a multi-jurisdictional high-tech task force in Silicon Valley. And during that time, I've been able to prosecute SIM swappers. I've been able to prosecute people who are involved in money laundering. And recently, I've been very involved in a new typology called pig butchering, which is a romance slash investment scam that is literally bankrupting victims.
What kind of money are we talking about here? What's the scope of pig butchering? How big is it?
On an individual level, it is the scammer is learning exactly the extent of how much money that victim has. And the scam does not end until that scammer has taken every last penny of that. Completely devastating to a victim who has lost not only who they thought was the love of their life, but their entire financial stability. On a worldwide level, this crime cannot be understated. We are seeing billions and billions of dollars be redistributed globally. What we're seeing is household by household, huge amounts of money, billions and billions of dollars are being transported to the other side of the world into the hands of organized crime. We have never seen this level of redistribution of wealth. And not only are we seeing the current amount of money going overseas, we are creating an entire sector of victims internationally who have depleted their ability to retire and to take care of themselves. So that will cause even more damage as these nations have to absorb the costs of retirement for all these people that had once had the ability to take care of themselves.
Now, you mentioned the eclipse. Adam, you know, we started later today because everyone wanted to have a chance to go outside and see that eclipse. It's a great example of a time when another kind of criminal tends to strike, when they know that you're not paying attention. And an eclipse, what a great time to go ahead and change somebody's phone number, SIM swapping, to steal the traffic from their phone. You were one of the first people to prosecute a significant SIM swapping case. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Back in 2018, a number of SIM swapping cases came across my desk, and there were 5 separate prosecutions based on those cases. So say you and I are young guys in our early 20s, sometimes even teenagers, and we don't know each other in real life. We know each other because we've been playing Call of Duty or Minecraft, even Roblox these days. We don't know each other by our real names at all. But we do know that Adam Levin has been investing in cryptocurrency because we've been watching him. He's our target. And back in 2018, everybody who was investing in cryptocurrency wanted to make sure you knew that they were in crypto. So back on Twitter, it was hashtag crypto this, hashtag crypto that. And he also has a pretty cool moniker that he uses on Instagram. He's got one. Not only do we know he has crypto, we also know he has an Instagram handle that we could sell. We go after him. It's a Friday night and Adam is asleep like most regular people. And you and I are up because we haven't been at a job all day. We've been gaming until 2-3 in the morning. But we've got a buddy, Travis, who works for one of the telcos. And Travis can be bought for $50 or a bag of weed or a promise that we will cut him in.
But Travis, I've always found he's much more expensive than $50.
I was about to say my rates have increased.
Okay, all right.
It's 97.
So we've bought Travis with a bag of weed. Keep going.
Okay, so it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's now Saturday morning and we reach out to Travis and we say, Travis, I need you to redirect all the texts and telephone calls that are coming to Adam's cell phone to the device that I am holding. So Adam's phone remains operative, like it still has everything on it, but it just can't get any calls or texts. I'm getting all his calls and texts. So you go to adamklevin@gmail.com and you click forgot password. And it says, great, we'll send a code out to your phone, but I'm holding his phone. So the code comes to me, I tell you what the code is, you change the password, you lock him out of his Gmail. And that's step one. From there, we go through and we are looking for where he keeps his important stuff. We could sell that. We know that he's got a ton of money in crypto. So we are now systematically going through any type of Dropbox or iDrive, Google Drive, looking for where he is keeping a seed phrase, which is basically the keys to his crypto. Or we're looking through his email to see what cryptocurrency exchange he's holding his crypto. And from there, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to lock him out of that crypto exchange and you're going to move that money. And hopefully you are honest with me and you're giving me half of it. Adam's going to wake up Saturday morning and $1 million will be gone from his account. No way of retrieving it. And he can't access any of his social media. And that will be a really scary place for him to be. And that's how SimSoppers were operating in 2018. And that's how they continue to operate today.
So when I wake up, is my phone going to have a signal?
So that'll be your first clue, is you'll wake up and it'll say no signal. So it's not like I'm getting your photos or anything else, but I have your photos because I have gone to your Google Drive and locked you out of Google Photos. So I'm now owning everything you have electronically. And that's really the danger that people don't understand. The good news is most people are not likely to be the target of a SIM swap event. But the fact is, unless if you are thinking that you have put two-factor authentication on all your stuff, and the second factor is your phone, you are wide open for people to take over your entire electronic identity.
The scenario you described sounds like it was very targeted. Are most SIM swap scenarios that focused on a single target, or is it more kind of scattershot?
No, the scattershot stuff is happening in pig butchering cases, which I can talk about later. But SIM swapping is absolutely targeted. That's a huge part of it, is who has crypto and who has a lot of crypto, and who can we, once we identify who that person is, can we get their name, their social, their email address, their mobile number from locations on the internet?
Aaron, as someone who's successfully prosecuted SIM swapping cases, how tightly do they track along the basic beats that you sketched? Is this kind of the way it is?
So the way that SIM swapping traditionally works is just like that. It's a loose community of like-minded individuals. There's Discord communities, Skype communities, other communities where these people hang out. And oftentimes it'll just be whoever is available to assist at the time that you've identified a target. Not only who's available, but who has the correct SIM cards, who has AT&T cards available? Who has Rogers cards if you're looking at a Canadian target? Who has the ability to effectuate that at that time? Occasionally, the type, the means in which the swap is done will be different. For example, sometimes we're actually calling up and we're cold calling AT&T and we are pretending to be Adam Levin because we've dug up enough information on you to pretend that we are you. So it's not always that we have someone on the inside. Frequently it is.
Yeah. So they're just, hey, oh gosh, I just left my keys. Can you open that door for me? And it's an age-old trick. I have a question for you about Seth Shapiro. That's a specific case of SIM swapping. What happened there?
Seth Shapiro is a victim in one of the cases that I prosecuted. Mr. Shapiro and his wife had nearly $2 million worth of crypto in a wallet that was seized, taken over by SIM swappers. Joel Ortiz was the SIM swapper that was convicted for taking over Mr. Shapiro's account and taking $1.8 million from that account. The amount of money that was in that account was significantly high because it was holding the proceeds of a sale of a home. And Mr. Shapiro and his wife were going to put that money back into a new home. And it was taken from them, leaving them without the ability to use it for a home, and gave her victim statement at the time of sentencing. She talked about finding herself a 50-year-old woman who doesn't know if she'll ever own a home again. I think that's what's so significant about these cases, is to know that the perpetrators who don't have a clear value of how much they're used to tokens and coins, they talk about it in that way, and they're used to what they can trade those tokens or coins for, often like a video game. And they don't seem to have a good sense of the amount of time and energy it takes a regular person to earn that kind of money, and that it can be gone in an instant. And that's what was so difficult for the Shapiros to wrap their heads around, was that somebody could be responsible for depriving them of that amount of money in a matter of minutes.
Was this major theft aided by the Shapiros sharing on social media about the sale of their home?
I don't have any reason to believe that that's true. At the time of the Shapiro theft, SIM swappers were looking for anybody who had identified themselves in any way as being associated with crypto. And the Shapiros stood out in that way.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric E-Bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric E-Bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance Electric E-Bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
So here's the deal. I use Yahoo Finance. I use it to make money because it works. Not just because they're a sponsor of the show. Heck, I've been using them for years before they ever called to become a sponsor. I do a lot of investing, and I need to make split-second financial decisions, and that's where Yahoo Finance comes in. I trade stocks, and I trade options, and you can't trade them in a vacuum. You've got to know what's going on. Yahoo Finance gives you the opportunity to look at the whole picture. I mean, breaking news, editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts. I love the customizable charts. They have it all. At Yahoo Finance, I'm part of a community of over 90 million users. You heard me. 90 million folks use Yahoo Finance because they're helping you on your way to financial success. Visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com, yahoofinance.com.
Back in March of 2018 was when my team received its first call about a SIM swapping incident. Our first SIM swapper was March 2018, and then shortly thereafter, we received one in May of 2018 that was a $5 million loss. Immediately after that came in Seth Shapiro with a $1.8 or $9 million loss. And it was really in the late 2018 that we started to see SIM swapping really burst onto the scene, a whole new crime we had never seen before, and the amount of money being lost as people slept was staggering. I was involved in a case where Michael Turpin of Los Angeles and Puerto Rico lost $26 million.
So these are big numbers.
They're huge numbers. And that's the absolutely destructive thing about SIM swapping. This is a whole new way of being able to take millions of dollars at a time from victims. It's just never seen before SIM swapping, and it's only gotten worse as people become more and more invested in cryptocurrency.
I know you set the scene with these scammers as young gamer dudes, but I'm guessing they're not always actual teenagers. Maybe in spirit, though. Maybe they're this kind of emotionally stunted person who has no empathy. What's the typical profile that you've come across in these cases?
The commonality is someone who really has never stood out as the one to watch before. It's someone who has been used to kind of being behind the scenes, behind a keyboard, and all of a sudden realizes that there is a whole wealth that could be acquired by using skills that they have developed in gaming. That person is usually early 20s, usually male, usually never employed in any type of work, more and more often under 18. The lure of being a SIM swapper is that all of a sudden you become a star. And the culture is such that overnight, these teenagers or adults are able to secure millions of dollars. And because they have never been truly employed and understand what it takes to make that money, it's easy for them to see it in the way that they see their gaming. And so it's easy for them to see it as coins and tokens and things that can be exchanged for something they want. These can be exchanged for a whole new computer setup. And then the culture is such that you show all that off, which was great for us back in 2018 because they were open on their Instagram pages showing off all of their wealth and really identifying themselves in a way that made it easy to track them. They're no longer doing that. But a SIM swapper is someone who didn't have that kind of clout before and now can walk into a nightclub in Los Angeles and buy the best table and have the prettiest girl sitting with them and wear the fanciest watch and then dump a bottle of $3,000 champagne all over it for show.
So from incel to celebrity.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, incel dash celebrity. Like it's a simple math equation.
In celebrity.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So can you elaborate on the extent of Joel Ortiz's crime? I mean, for one, I understand this was a collaboration among various hackers.
So Joel Ortiz was part of the community. It's a group. It's a loose group of people who do this same type of work and who like to communicate amongst themselves. Joel targeted a number of different victims and was able to SIM swap them, take over their identities, take over their traffic. And he stole, I can account for $7.6 million that was stolen by Joel Ortiz and his loosely associated counterparts who he did not want to rat out. When we became aware of who Joel Ortiz was, one of the things that he was doing, he had the username @0, the number 0. Well, and if you think about it, there are only 10 of those that could exist, right? There's only 10 digits.
And SIM swapping is a way, like you said, people can often steal these coveted usernames.
He was at zero, and he was living the Sim Swapper lifestyle and showing it all over Instagram. And in fact, when he went out in Los Angeles, once we figured out who he was, one of the fabulous detectives who cracked this whole case watched him on Instagram and could see that Joel was going to Los Angeles from his home in Boston to celebrate. Joel went out to Los Angeles. He had two Airbnbs. He had one to stay in and one to party in. And Joel then went out one night clubbing in Los Angeles and attracted so much attention that he and his friends were followed home by legitimate LA gangs. And they broke into Joel's rented Airbnb and they tied them up and they stole all their stuff. What the street gang didn't realize was that Joel had a ton of money sitting on a hardware wallet. They were just there to get all the cash and the obvious wealth. But what was interesting is then Joel got on Instagram Live and started talking about it and talking about how disrespectful this was, that these people could just come in and take all his money, which really shows the lack of understanding of what he was into. But that was a great source of information for us because Joel then called the police and the police came out and interviewed him and took the names of all his buddies that were staying with him at the Airbnb house.
You said that you started getting more reports of this. Has the number of incidents that you've seen increased or decreased or held steady?
For a while, we had a ton of reports back in 2018, 2019. Then it sort of leveled off for a bit. Now, with the value of coin going up again, it really has become a more attractive target, and we've started to see more sim swapping. I don't think it ever went away, but I think that there definitely was a drop in reports, and that is coming back up again. I'll also say that I don't think these sim swappers are just up to sim swapping these days. I think they've moved on to bigger, much bigger crimes.
Victims are located here in the Bay Area alone. It shouldn't have been 10 years, and not even close.
Dennis Dawson represents Joel Ortiz. Dawson says his client got a harsh deal for a nonviolent offense because Dawson says the court system wants to make an example of Ortiz.
And Joel was a kid. He was 19 and 20. They do things to impress their friends.
But Seth Shapiro and Anne-Marie Michaels say 10 years is not enough. Authorities only recovered about $75,000 of their stolen money, and they believe the rest is stashed away in digital hiding places that authorities will never find.
Honestly, we're just trying to rebuild our lives since this happened. I feel like a bad mother because I'm so distracted. We're working so hard.
Was this your first case involving cryptocurrency?
That's right. We had never seen cryptocurrency before our first SIM swap case.
Where did it lead to next?
I work with a high-tech task force of detectives from a number of different agencies who specialize in computer crimes, internet crimes. And because we had an expertise in cryptocurrency, we were poised and ready when a whole new breed of crime came across our desks. In March 2022, a victim came to us and said he was 30 years old. He was a software engineer, and he had lost every penny that he had in a cryptocurrency investment scheme. I remember talking to one of the detectives at REACT, our task force, and he said, you know, I'm working on a pig butchering case. Have you heard of that? And I said, no, I've never heard of that. What does that mean? And he's like, well, it's kind of a combination romance scam, investment scam, but this guy lost $300,000, which was, that's a lot of money. And we're familiar with romance scams. And we know about, you know, the Nigerian prince and people on oil rings and all these. But what we hadn't seen before pig butchering came on our radar was a scam that is designed to get the victim to put every last penny they have into the investment. That's the really destructive nature of pig butchering. And every time I think I've heard the worst story, another one comes in. I had a victim's son reach out to me and he said, I think my mom is a victim of pig butchering. I knew that she had met someone online and she had talked about this person sort of minimally, but then she came to me and she said, I need money to pay the mortgage on the condo. And he said, Mom, you don't have a mortgage on the condo. And she goes, oh, now I do. And he's like, what do you mean? And then he started talking to her and he found out what she had been led into. This is a crime where when you first hear about it, you think, oh my God, these scammers have no heart at all. But then you hear the other side of it and you realize, oh my God, the scammers have been human trafficked into doing this dirty work. And the people behind this whole thing are Chinese organized crime syndicates?
Or syndicates in Africa, operating out of South Africa and other nation states where they have good infrastructure and they can do it. And so it's amazing when you think that they've been grafted off the spine of Satan, that they're complete copies of pure evil, the way that they work. We're talking about incels in a humorous way earlier, but here, you might be talking about incels who are incels of a very different kind, who are just lonely and are just looking for companionship, and they find it in a person who cynically goes after them for everything they're worth. And they get addicted to their exploiters as well.
One of the points I'd make about it is that these are very normal people that are falling for this. What's interesting to me is literally every single time I present about this in some location, someone will reach out to me afterward and say, oh, I'm a victim of that. And it just goes to show you that when you look around your friend group, your neighborhood, Thanksgiving table, it's highly likely that someone sitting there right next to you has been a victim of this crime.
Because it's like it's a silent crime, because the victims of it, they don't want to talk about it. They're ashamed. And oftentimes it takes them a very long time to come to the reality that they are being victimized, generally because their family has found out about it and said to them, what are you doing?
Adam, my cousin was over just the other night and we were talking about the show and he goes, oh, that happened to me. I said, can you tell me more? And he said, no, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, I work on a show about this stuff. Like, come on. I'd rather not think about it again. I'm embarrassed that it happened. It happened. I moved on. It's not going to happen again.
How hard are these pig butchering cases to actually prosecute?
Impossible. So I don't mean to make light of it. Here is the problem with prosecuting pig butchering cases. Our suspects are almost 100% of the time located outside the United States, but not just outside the United States, but in jurisdictions that are unfriendly to American intervention. In pig butchering, the real problem is that these suspects are out of our ability to grab onto them, which is an interesting point, actually, because I think that it reflects a pivot that needs to be made in law enforcement in terms of we used to measure success on how many people we could get arrested. With pig butchering becoming such an international crisis, we need to think about success in terms of how we can disrupt it, how we can assist victims, how we can prevent it. And we need to come up with metrics that will affect that and that can be measured and shown as success, because we are not going to be able to arrest these people. What we can do is help victims and educate and do our best to prevent this from happening.
So is there a typical demographic that is target for pig butchering scams?
Adam, I wish there was, because if there were, then we could go after that demographic and say, hey, you guys, don't let this happen to you. But in fact, what's happening is it's literally anybody that has a mobile phone is a potential victim. Because I don't know if you've ever received one of those texts that appears to be just a random mixed number that, look, what time are you showing up to pick me up? Or, hey, you left your jacket at my house. Those are all bait for pig butchering. They will literally go after anybody.
No, I get them daily.
If all this is revolving around cryptocurrencies, would making crypto harder to use, or would it help?
I don't know. I guess it's hard for me to think that through because it's such an unlikely scenario. I think that crypto is very much here to stay. Crypto also happens to be how bad guys move money, but crypto isn't going anywhere anytime soon. I don't know. I mean, if crypto were illegal, would it stop it? Right now, you're getting people, they are benefiting from people who are unfamiliar with crypto. That's what's helpful to them, because people want to be in on the ground floor of something special and something that's going to make them rich. If crypto were illegal, I suspect they'd probably have some hurdles to get over with relatively law-abiding people not wanting to break the law in order to become wealthy.
It just seems like, you know, when heroin was made illegal, pharmaceutical companies started making it, so it was legal again. I don't know.
I just think about what's happening in Nigeria right now with, like, crypto is illegal in Nigeria, or you know, the fact that, you know, that I don't know.
I feel the same way. That's the best quote, and I think it should be when we go do our social for this episode. It should just be like, I don't know. it sucks.
Let's talk about weight loss. Most of us have been there, struggling with the ups and downs. You lose some weight, then it creeps back.
But forget those endless cycles of juice cleanses, soup diets, and the latest fad workouts. There's a better way.
The Rogue Body Program pairs a weekly weight loss shot with a real lifestyle change, so you can lose weight and actually keep it off.
Need support? Rogue's got you covered every step of the way, and guess what? You can do it all from the comfort of your own home. No more doctor's appointments, no more waiting rooms. It's that simple.
Ready to take charge of your weight? Head over to ro.co/Adam to sign up today.
Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in a year. That's with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/Adam.
Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 after that. Medication costs are separate.
That's ro.co/ADAM.
It's pretty clear that cryptocurrency has been the tool of choice for a lot of scammers. Have banks gotten any better at detecting fraud when it relates to cryptocurrency things, or helping people get their money back?
You are asking all the right questions. What has happened with pig butchering is that the scale and volume of it is so massive that it is truly affecting a number of sectors of our, we've got social media involved, we've got banking involved, we've got cryptocurrency exchanges involved, we've got law enforcement. So everybody has a piece of this where they could make an impact and make things better. They are among the first to show up at the table to be like, yes, I'm interested in what we could do better. I am interested in participating in groups that talk about this. I'm interested in understanding the typology. I'm interested in training my tellers how to do better. NGOs who are very much involved in this because they are on the ground like me seeing the victimization. So yes, banks are interested in making improvements.
This brings us to a project that you've just launched called Operation Shamrock. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Operation Shamrock kicked off last Friday for a webinar in which I invited all sectors of the life cycle of pig butchering. So on that initial call were over 540 people from all the various sectors, starting with social media, then moving to banking, moving to law enforcement, crypto exchanges, NGOs, international partners, and victim and victim services. The concept of Operation Shamrock is that we each have a part to play in this, and we each have our blinders on to the pieces of, we only know what it is that we are directly seeing, and we don't necessarily know how all the rest of it functions. So it's to enable an understanding of the entire typology among the sectors, but also to hold sectors accountable for the pieces that they can fix. So we're going to break into working groups and we're going to have accountability. What I'm interested in is not what everybody brainstorms and thinks could be done, but actually people showing up and saying, I work in banking, here's what I could do. Or I work in social media, here's what I can do. This is an actual private-public partnership that is going to make change.
Why Operation Shamrock?
a couple of reasons. Number one, when I first noticed that pig butchering was a massive problem that needed a solution, I started thinking about what people could do. And what I thought about was they can educate, seize, disrupt. And that became my mantra that I started using over and over. And it was March of 2023, and I thought, I need to make this an actual concept. And what's a three-prong thing? And it's March. My name's Aaron. Shamrock has good luck. People like shamrocks, and the color green is a cheerful color. It's an easy name to remember. It just seemed like that's what we're going to go with.
Is there any one piece of advice you have for our listeners to avoid pig butchering scams?
I think the one piece of advice I have about pig butchering scams is to understand the typology, understand how they are going to show up for you. They are going to show up on that text, or they're going to show up in LinkedIn. There was a whole new one I saw this week where somebody reached out on LinkedIn and said, "Hey, I see that you live in the state of Washington. My niece is moving to Washington. Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions about the state you live in?" Hadn't seen that one before. What you need to be aware of, the piece of advice is, these scammers are going to drop into your electronic life somewhere. And anyone that you do not know that drops into your electronic life, you should be wary of. You should assume that person is a scammer until you figure out differently. So be wary. Keep your circle small. Be careful about who you allow into your circle. And then finally, share what you know. Talk about this, because it's amazing to me every time I talk and I say, "Who in here has heard of pig butchering?" And there's usually very few hands raised. And then I'll say, "Who's gotten one of these texts on their phone?" And it's almost everyone. So the fact is, everybody knows that there's some scam out there, but they don't know what it is. So talk about it.
Are there any actions that cryptocurrency exchanges are taking or not taking, in your view, to help combat scammers in this area?
Over the last few months, we have seen a shift in the interest level of cryptocurrency exchanges and social media to get involved and to begin to be part of the solution. This is a meteoric shift. We had not seen this before, so we are delighted and cautiously optimistic that we are getting ourselves all on the same page. What we would like to see more from crypto exchanges is really looking at the entire universe of dirty money that is coming through their platforms and really taking responsibility.
Aaron, we so much appreciate you coming on our show and look forward to helping in any possible way we can. And if someone wants to learn more about Operation Shamrock or Aaron West, where do they go?
LinkedIn is the best place to learn. So there is a LinkedIn page for Operation Shamrock, and there is a LinkedIn page for me. And I certainly talk all the time about sim swapping and pig butchering and other online thefts.
Do you represent the government with Operation Shamrock, or are you as an individual setting something up?
I am a county employee with regard to Operation Shamrock.
Okay, so this is actually a great example of a local government going into international waters and making a huge
yes.
change.
Now we'll see what I can get them to do.
Okay, so now it's time for the tinfoil swan.
Our paranoid takeaway to keep you safe on and offline.
Do you use a password manager?
That's a pretty personal question.
In part, kinda.
Wait, you think it's a personal question or you use one in part?
Yes.
Okay, please expand.
It depends on the account and what it's connected to. I use multiple web browsers, and one problem with built-in password managers is what you've stored on, say, Firefox doesn't automatically sync with Chrome or Safari or Edge, for that matter.
Yeah, and they're less secure overall. The fact that you can import your stored passwords from one browser to another means that a hacker can do the same.
Right, but not all third-party password managers are created equal. I mean, some have better encryption, some have been hacked fewer times.
And once you set them up, you can use them across multiple browsers and multiple devices.
Yeah, and to Beau's point, there's still a risk factor here. If your password manager is breached...
Listen, I was like wondering when someone was going to interrupt me.
Yeah.
So that actually happened to my very major provider recently. And I didn't lose any sleep over it, but I did have to change some things.
Well, it could mean that all your passwords are breached.
Yeah, and if you use a weak password to protect your passwords, you're totally screwed.
Yeah, and it's the same thing we say about a two-factor authentication. Any cybersecurity product or solution isn't 100% safe. They can keep you safer, but not completely safe.
Well, you know, I misspoke actually, because the major password manager that I use and that was breached, it does require that I use an authenticator to get on there. So I have multi-factor authentication protecting it. I think it's pretty safe. The whole goal here is to make yourself a harder target.
While some password managers may be better than others, and some browsers have stronger security than others, you're still going to be safer than you would be if you're just using your pet's name for all your accounts.
And that's our tinfoil swan. What the Heck with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media. You can find us online at adamlevin.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.